السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم جميعا أيها المستمعين والمستمعات. Beloved listeners of Radio Islam International, welcome back to Hayatun Tayyiba with myself, Malima Shakira Hunter, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as always for this opportunity. And subhanAllah, you know, we are at that moment in Ramadan where we all hit our slump point, subhanAllah. It's really scary when you think about the fact that, you know, the Sahaba went out in Badr at this time, and they found that energy and that they found that taqwa within them, subhanAllah. Yet we find ourselves getting to the point where we, you know, we're losing our momentum and we find ourselves focused on the end now, you know, subhanAllah. But to keep ourselves focused, there are a few things that we have to constantly do. We have to constantly remind ourselves. One of those main things is to not look at the amount of time passing, subhanAllah. You know, this is what happens to us, is that we focus on the days are passing by so quickly and the time is going by so quickly. And subhanAllah, we focus so much on, oh my word, it's such a fast Ramadan, that we don't realize that we're actually taking away from ourselves. We're stealing from our own time, because now our mind and our focus is, I need to sort my biscuits out, I need to sort my orders out, I need to maybe sort out from Eid day, what am I doing for Eid, who's coming over, what Eid. No, all of these things start to consume us. And subhanAllah, once we get consumed with those things, then the now that we get, that can still benefit us, subhanAllah. These days are so beautiful, such main, massive days. And the preparation that we have to be making for the last 10 days of Ramadan easily gets lost, subhanAllah. So firstly, we have to start, you know, constantly saying Alhamdulillah for the time, to remove the statements that bring negativity and take away, you know, this things are going too quickly, all of those negative statements, subhanAllah. And then, subhanAllah, when you are focusing yourself, one important thing to do would be just to find quiet. Because in the rush of life now, you know, in the rush of all the lists that you have for Eid and all the lists that you have for the Eid, whether it's your Eid breakfast, whether it's your Eid lunch, Eid supper, who you're giving presents to, what you're doing, you have so much of things that are filling your mind right now. And subhanAllah, this does something. It takes us away from the shukr of the current moment and only makes us focus on the end. And yes, we need to focus on our Eid lists. We need to focus on all the things we need to do. But at the same time, at the very same time, our focus has to be, Ya Allah, how am I making the most of the time that I have currently right now? Alhamdulillah. Now, beloved listeners, subhanAllah, we have, you know, attached ourselves over and over and over to the Quran, and we've been looking at the history of the Quran, looking at the different tadabbur. And inshallah, coming up on the show, my beloved friend and sister, Manima Hasina, will join us, inshallah. And inshallah, we'll take some benefit from how we're speaking about a very massive topic today, right? But at the same time, we want to look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, you know, the other day we were looking at the names of the words of Allah. We were looking at the positive ayahs that are in the Quran that, you know, cement our faith. And today I was just reading something so beautiful. And I, you know, there's something so amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he names the Quran An-Nur. He calls the Quran An-Nur. He calls himself An-Nur. And subhanAllah, the sifat of himself, he also describes the Quran, because we know the Quran is an extension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, right? So firstly, I was very fascinated by this word Nur and looking at it in the Quran, like how often it comes, subhanAllah. So we all know that Nur is a light, right? We all understand that Nur is a light. It's this light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. We understand it. But Allah puts it so beautifully in different places in the Quran, right? And here, you know, the word Nur and the word Nar come from the same root word. So Nar means fire, whereas Nur means light. So it's very easy to confuse the two, but there's a very massive difference. And the Nur, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not something that burns. What it does is it illuminates, subhanAllah. So if you think of a fire will burn, a fire will create that warmth, but the fire won't at the same time, a fire won't give that much of light. It will give some light, but not that much of light. So subhanAllah, when we look at this word, when we look at this word Nur, it brings about Ida'ah. It illuminates the space around it, subhanAllah, right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Nur, the one thing is that it first of all illuminates the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have so much of light within it, right? And then subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you know, he described our condition the way we were. And I think, you know, every time you touch your Quran and every time you look at your Quran, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from the people of Ahl al-Quran, the people of Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying so beautifully, he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the close friend and protector of those who believe. And then he says, Yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. What did Allah do? Because he was your protector, he immediately did something so important. He took you out of dhulumat, he took you out of darkness, and he gave you complete nur in your life, subhanAllah. Right? So to understand that, firstly, this is an act of love on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you look at this nur now, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, people, they want to put out, they want to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, Wallahu mutimmu nuri. Allah has completed his light and he's completed his nur, subhanAllah, right? And it's so beautifully what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention. And this is, I think, the most important ayah when looking at nur, that it's something that Allah places inside of you. So when you take time to memorize the Quran, the Kalam of Allah, it's an actual part of nur of Allah that's within you. So a lot of times people say, you know, I want to memorize the Quran. I want to take time to learn the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have this desire to get close to the words of Allah. But you have this sort of fear. Will I be able to? Won't I be able to? Will I be able to do this? You know, I'm so old. What if I forget? When will I even finish if I only start now? And subhanAllah, if you reframe your mind completely and you don't look at it from the point of view that I'm actually memorizing the Quran in any way, shape or form to finish it, I'm doing it simply so I have the excuse of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within me, subhanAllah. And Allah says this, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put that nur in you. And this, the ulama say, if you don't have iman, and that nur here is the nur of iman and the nur of guidance that Allah takes you away from his guidance and to take you to his ma'rifah, to recognize Allah. So beautiful that, excuse me, that Allah chooses for us, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses for us this nur and Allah places it within us, subhanAllah, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say that there are some people, it's almost as if they are dead. Allahu Akbar. Oh, man kana mayta. It's almost as if they are dead. And what happens? Then Allah says, then we revive him. And then we place this nur in his heart so that he can walk around and be with people. So subhanAllah, Allah is again drawing our attention that when you have this light of Quran, this light of iman in your heart, it's a different kind of life. It's a life that is full of actual living, subhanAllah. And when you don't have this Quran, and Nabi often, you know, often brought this parable, and he said, what did he say? He said, you know, houses that don't have Quran, it's like a dead house. It's like a mayyit. It's a house that isn't something alive in there, subhanAllah, right? So now when we go on and we look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now refers to the Quran as nuran mubina, you know? And he says, it's such a clear, beautiful nur. And then Allah again then turns our attention. So here he says, he speaks about the Quran itself, that is nurun mubin. It's so evident, it's so clear, it has this light and this guide for us, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allahu Akbar. What a massive statement. Allah says, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. And Imam Tabari rahmatullahi alayhi explains to us, he says, you know, that this means Allah is the one who guides everything that is in the heaven and the earth, subhanAllah. And it is only through that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can any person be guided. And you think that you are doing anything because of yourself, but actually only the guidance and the nur of Allah that comes into us, subhanAllah, right? And then, you know, when you look at this word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he asks a question. And this is the gratefulness, the shukr that me and you must have for having the suhba, having the companionship of the Quran in our lives, having this iman, this gift of iman. Allah says, and he actually asks this question, and he says, أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه. Allah says, and that person, well, Allah expands his chest with Islam, and he is upon this beautiful light from Allah, this beautiful nur from Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you this question, right? Do you understand the value of this? That when Allah opens your chest, he puts the Quran in and he gives you that. And so every day, you know, when you are struggling to finish your khatam and you're struggling to find time, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, grant me a little bit of this nur. Allah, grant me time to spend with your Quran. Place this nur into my heart. And you know, at tahajjud time, there's a beautiful, beautiful dua of tahajjud. And subhanAllah, that dua starts with Allahumma ja'al, you know, oh Allah, place in front of me nur, and behind me nur, and above me nur. So when you look, I will go into it a little of more detail, but I'm just rushing to finish, inshallah. So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will come back to the dua, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, explains to us this nur in different places of the Quran, right? But now he draws our attention to something so important, that on the day of Qiyamah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us this light. يُعْطَاهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. As you are passing the sirat al-mustaqim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow this light to illuminate your way, and you will be walking with this light, right? But as you are doing, Allah speaks about this in the Quran, and He says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. They will be moving with this light, you know, and Allah make us from the people who have light in that intense, intense darkness. But on the other hand, what will happen is, subhanAllah, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu explains to us, and he says, depending on the extent of one's a'mal, if you have a lot of good deeds, يَمُرُونَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ, that is how people will pass over the straight path, the sirat al-mustaqim, right? So there are some people, he says, مِنْهُمْ مِنْ نُورِهِ مِثْلُ الْجَبَلِ. There are some people who will have the light that is like mountains, massive, massive nur that will, you know, keep them and give them this companionship. وَمِنْهُمْ مِنْ نُورِهِ مِثْلَ النَّخْلَةِ. And there are those who will have tiny, tiny, you know, palm trees of nur. وَمِنْهُمْ مِنْ نُورِهِ مِثْلَ الرَّجُلِ الْقَائِمِ. And then there will be people who will have nur the size of a man who is standing. And then he says, وَأَدِنَاهُمْ نُورًا مِن نُورِهِ فِي إِبْهَامِهِ. Allahu Akbar. And the lowest person in the nur will be the one who just has a new light that is in his thumb, subhanAllah. And يَتَّقِدُ مَرَّ وَيَصَّأُ مَرَّ. Sometimes it will light up, sometimes it will die. Sometimes it will light up, sometimes it will die down, subhanAllah. Now on that day, we need to ask Allah to grant us this massive nur, and Allah to make our iman in this world and our a'mal so much, and inshallah, the day of Qiyamah, it will give us the suhra, it will give us this light on the day of Qiyamah, subhanAllah. And at that time, on the day of Qiyamah, what will happen is the munafiqeen and the munafiqat, they will now come and they will say, what will they say? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم. They will come and the hypocrites will come and they will say, at that time to the believers, they will say, look at us, give us some of your nur, give us some of your light, you know. And subhanAllah, they will, at that time, they will want to have this light. They will ask and they will beg for it, you know. And subhanAllah, at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, no. You chose in the dunya, you had the light and you turned away from it. So go back and look for it wherever you are looking for it, subhanAllah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention constantly to His jala, to His diya, to His light that illuminates. And subhanAllah, in a life where we are trying so hard to gain beauty, to gain, you know, solace in whatever we have, you know, the way we look in our lives. And yeah, Allah gives us the perfect, perfect answer. This nur is where you find all of the solace, subhanAllah, and you find your beauty. Now, something that is so important as well for us to understand and to remember is that, Allahu Akbar, when you are looking at the way ESCOM is, you know, giving us load shedding, and people are all up in arms about the fact that, you know, it's load shedding and it's Ramadan and it's cold and how do we manage? And subhanAllah, if you really think about it, right, there's so many different backup plans that we have. There are rechargeable lights that we have. a portable Wi-Fi that we have. We have gas stoves. So we have all of these little tiny things that assist us. But, you know, when the lights go, it does make, we can find other options. But still, with all the backup plans, still, when the lights go, we get so upset and we get to find it so difficult. How are we going to manage if the lights go? It's so difficult, subhanAllah. And when I look at this and I think of how it upsets us to such an extent, I think to myself, that, subhanAllah, how are we going to manage on the day of Qiyamah without this Nur, Allahu Akbar? How is it going to be even possible for us to, you know, look around, to see the people that we love, to be there, to take away the fear, and there will be just darkness upon darkness upon darkness. And subhanAllah, Allah brings us back over and over and over to the fact that the Quran is the Nur of Allah. And أضاءت يوم القيامة إذا تجلى الحق تبارك وتعالى للخلائق لفصل القضاء. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will use that and you will illuminate your path, subhanAllah, illuminate it completely when you understand who is Allah and you understand who is what is His Quran and you bring it into your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and me the ability to keep the Quran as the Nur of Allah and place it in our heart, place it in our actions, place it in our speech, inshaAllah. Inshallah, we're going to take a short break and inshaAllah, when we get back, we'll be joined by Walima Hasina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to Hayatun Tayyiba with myself, Mu'alima Shakira Hanta. Alhamdulillah. And joining me on the line on this Wednesday afternoon is my beloved sister and friend, Mu'alima Hasina. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba biki, Mu'alima Hasina. Welcome to Radio Islam International. And jazakum Allah khair for joining us once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum for having me, Mu'alima.
Alhamdulillah, it's such a pleasure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for the time. We were just talking about the fact that we're getting to our slum point, you know, and everybody's getting burned, they're coming to their burnout. How is your Ramadan going, Walima?
Alhamdulillah, yeah, it's, I think knowing that Ramadan is coming to an end, and even though we are a bit tired now, but inshallah, we push on until we reach the end, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, you know, every Wednesday we've been speaking about some deep topics and alhamdulillah, we've been getting some beautiful feedback from our listeners. And, you know, it's making people think, it's making us reframe our minds. And that's our focus as Muslims, isn't it? Never to get to a point where we are comfortable with who we are and think that I am doing everything and this is it. We have to constantly think, make more hasaba and think, how can I change? How can I get better? How can I develop myself? So Mu'alima, subhanAllah, today we're speaking about something very, very, very deep. And we're looking at racism and the impact it has on Iman. And maybe not to that extent of racism. Sometimes we have culturalism. So we're looking at those two broad aspects. And if we look at, you know, the history of Islam, because in the 7th century, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, this is so early, early on in the history of man, when Nabi Muhammad also dropped this bombshell, you know, on the people who didn't understand this. They didn't understand that people could be equal. And he told them that all people are created equal. And he said that all human beings are descended from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over an Arab. And no superiority of a white person over a black person or a black person over a white person, except on the basis of personal piety and righteousness, which is taqwa. And subhanAllah, when he said this, you know, at that time, racial equality was such an unheard of topic. And it was something that the people of Arabia struggled with, you know. And now when we look at the racial tensions in the world, we look at the way we have these, you know, stigmas on people and on children, and we understand that it is an integral part of our faith to understand the importance of this concept of racism, or sometimes when it permeates and it comes down into tribalism. So, Mu'alima, you know, we're delving into this deep topic today. And the first thing I want to ask is that most of us don't think that we are racist, right? We all walk around thinking, no, I'm not a racist person. I believe in equality. But firstly, how do we determine what is racism and whether we are actually guilty of this?
SubhanAllah, deep topic indeed. So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So basically racism, if you're going to be able to check yourself, we need to check, number one, if we are discriminating towards other people, if we're having any sort of prejudices towards other people, right? And subhanAllah, the root of this, you know, when I was doing some research, was that it all stems down to pride, thinking that we are better than other people, right?
All right.
And yeah, nobody wants to admit that that we are racist, or that, you know, we have this thing about our own tribes and ethnicity and so on. But this, I just wrote down a few points which, you know, have come up throughout life, subhanAllah, you know. When we, you know, use derogatory terms for other people indicating their race, that's when we should know, okay, fine, you know, a term that you won't be able to use in front of them, that also indicates a sort of racism, right? And mm-hmm. another thing is also, if we make our kids afraid by a specific race, that if you don't eat your food, example, I'm going to whatever, but indicating the other race, right? It may be said, maybe in jest or things like that, but I mean, why should a child be, you know, innocent children, subhanAllah, being made to feel afraid of a different race, right? And also, if we, you know, set out different crockery, different cutlery for, you know, for other people because of their race, that, you know, people of a specific race cannot eat of my dishes and so on, then I most certainly there is some racism in there, okay? And yeah. another thing also is, if we speak in the accent of people of a particular race in order maybe to be funny or to poke fun at that specific person or that race, that is racism. And what happens now is that these things have been made to be so normal, subhanAllah, like, you know, we mm-hmm. speak, you know, in different accents, you know, that to belittle people, subhanAllah. And as we know, that's also a form of, like, you know, like backbiting as well, that if people, you know, if you make actions and if people don't see and you make some sort of indication that a person won't like, right? And also, right. When you tell a person of a specific race that, for example, right, if you're speaking to someone of a specific race that you are racist towards, but maybe this person is perhaps a bit more refined, and we use words like, no, you're not like them. You know, you're not like them. Subhanallah. Mm. These are like painful and absolutely 100% racist terms, you know, because at the end of the day, those people that are being referred to are still the people of that person who is refined now, or whatever the case is. So these are ways. If we've ticked the boxes, then subhanAllah, then there is racism within us. But inshallah, by the end of this, we will hope that maybe we will be able to shed these qualities away from us, inshallah.
Mualma, you know, it's very difficult, you know, when we want to bring up these kind of topics, you're so scared and you feel like, oh, people will get offended. But the thing is, to be very honest with ourselves, you know, and I remember growing up, my mom had strict rules, you know, there was, it didn't matter who it was, everybody was treated equally in our home, you know. And sometimes people will get upset, like, you know, why is the person of this race sitting with us? Why is the helper sitting at the table with us? But the reality is, that is deen. The deen of Allah is that we are all equal, subhanAllah. And just, you know, recently we went to the Mall of Africa, and there's a beautiful play area there in the middle, and my son was playing there, and it was something so, I was so happy. In my soul, I was happy, because he had literally, you know, every kind of race around him, you know, every kind. Uh-huh. There were Pakistanis, there were people from, you know, different European people from Africa, every, and you know what was the amazing thing, Wilma? Mm-hmm. Every single child was speaking a different language, and yet they were playing with each other. You know, subhanAllah, it was so, there was beautiful Bengali children, and they would, you know, run after him and try to catch him, and there were Somali children, and they were speaking in their language. It was so, and my son speaks Arabic, so it was lovely. He was just adding to the mix. But it shows us, right? It shows us the innocence that we don't, Allah hasn't brought us up with this. Allah has made us move beyond this. And, you know, a lot of times we bring this, the example of Bilal radiallahu anhu, but beyond the example of him and the, you know, the amazement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loving, it's nothing amazing. He himself, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard his footsteps in Jannah. He was, Allah had given him such sharaf. But beyond that, subhanAllah, the you know, the intense closeness that they had, the way they ate all the time, the way they were together at every moment, it shows us that this whether it's culturalism, whether it's racism, it's something that Islam serves to break. And that this sort of words that we use of you people and us, and we are different and they, and subhanAllah, this is so painful. And this doesn't only happen in the South African context, you know. I remember when I was living in South America, Malima, you know, it was so difficult. we used to have Venezuelan Muslims accepting Islam, right? Uh-huh. And they would always come to my home. They would always be there. They would spend a lot of time with my husband and I. And one of the words that would often be used to describe them would be shab. You know, they are shab. And shab uh-huh. means it's sort of like you another... it's a derogatory word, actually, but it's just used to say that, okay, you're not Arab, right? Uh-huh. But we have terms like that in South Africa. You know, we have terms where we say it and it's colloquially accepted, it's fine. But mm-hmm. subhanAllah, we have to start thinking about these things. We have to start thinking to ourselves, is this not having an impact? And I remember, you know, some of the boys said to my husband, he said, you know, we don't like to perform salah in the masjid because when they come, they always say to us, oh, we must stand at the back because and it's difficult. It's difficult because then we think, oh, this person is not a born Muslim, or this person is not from the same race as us, but Allah this woman has broken this. So now, you know, I've been constantly referencing about Asabiyya and Ansariyya, which is culturalism and tribalism, right? Mm-hmm. And racism and tribalism. So mm-hmm. one is, you know, when we have this racism to other people, and the one is within our own communities, we have this sort of misunderstanding. So mm-hmm. I want to ask Manuel to explain to us, why are both detrimental and what's the actual difference?
SubhanAllah, it's painful either way, you know. When Mu'alifa told me about this, and I was like, SubhanAllah, like if you look at within, like the tribalism, right? Mm-hmm. That, no, we are better than you and we cannot marry our children to your children because how are the children going to turn out, SubhanAllah? Like people even have this mindset in this 2022 that we're living in. And within that also, you would have people who are, you know, colorism, that no, you know, we can't marry into, you know, this caste, you know, the caste system also comes in then, right? Because of the complexion, you know, those are darker, these ones are lighter, SubhanAllah. Mm. And yet, as mentioned in the beginning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just basically created us just so that we can recognize each other. There's nothing more to it. There is absolutely nothing more to it. And then you look at the part of racism, subhanAllah. You know, my daughter came back from school the other day and she was like, Mommy, I need to tell you something that I learned. I'm like, yes. She's like, do you know who the first racist person ever was, the first racist of Islam, like in the history of ever was, you know? And then she was like, you know, we learned that it was Iblis when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to make sujood to Adam alayhi salam out of respect and he refused because he said that, Ana khayru min, I am better than him. I'm better than Adam because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me from fire, which goes up basically, and Adam from soil, from dust, which remains at the bottom. So in actual fact, that's what we do when we start saying that we are better and they are not. And you look at race now, subhanAllah. Like I mentioned, Allah Ta'ala just created us to say, okay, this one is from China, that one is from Japan, that one is from where? And in order for us to see to marvel at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, you know, when we do things, you know, we have blocks in terms of, like, you know, your imagination stops at some point. If you write, you get the writer's block. And, you know, those kind of things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how we created mankind. And, you know, different shades and so beautifully so. And that's all. So when we start, you know, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, like basically we're mocking at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which He has done because He knows why some people are like so dark or why some people are so light, you know? Mm. And subhanAllah, that's really something which we should shed because the deen didn't come to teach this. It rather came to eradicate all of this, subhanAllah. So the tribalism, you know, we are told that when in terms of marriage, because mostly it's because of marriage, right, that you choose the one with deen. That's all, you know, and the other factors come thereafter. But we put race first and we put tribes first and we put the caste, you know, villages first and so on, which are so irrelevant, subhanAllah, you know.
So you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so beautifully in the Quran, He says, oh, humankind, we have made you into nations and tribes so that you get to know one another. Mm-hmm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the noblest of you in Allah's sight is the one who is the most righteous. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this, He speaks about the fact that He has given us this intense ni'mah of different tribes, different nations, different people. And it's only so that you can see the differences, so that you understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And I have often find myself, you know, because we are so we brought up in a certain way, we eat certain foods, we're so used to it. So when we are open or we start having seeing other cultures, then we pull up our noses, we say, oh, how can they eat like this? Why do they eat this kind of food? They don't put any spices in their food. Their food is so bland. And subhanAllah, sometimes it's lighthearted, but other times it crosses a line. And it crosses the line because we think that the way that we are brought up is so important to us and the only thing that is important. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us all come from the akhirah and we're all going back to the akhirah, right? Mm-hmm. So the ni'mah first of all of having people, and I always say there's nothing I love more. It always brings back, you know, memories of my trip to 40 days in Jamaat to Pakistan and subhanAllah and to India. And I cannot tell you. It felt like I couldn't get enough. I didn't want to sleep. I didn't want to stop. I just wanted to get to know because it's so fascinating. You see these Afghani women, you know, and the way they put their mehndi on. Then you see people going into the kitchen and cooking, and the way they cook is different. The way natures are so calm. Then you get hot-headed people. And it's so fascinating. You know, like sitting, and I remember one day, particularly, subhanAllah, we were sitting and we were a group of about 10 to 12 people. And neither of us could understand each other, right? And subhanAllah, we literally sat in a chain, you know, a Pashto lady sitting, and somebody who knows Urdu news, Pashto translating for her. I was talking, I was speaking in Arabic. And the lady who understood Arabic was translating into Urdu. And this chain of the cycle of us all wanting to learn, wanting to converse with each other, wanting to get to know each other. And it didn't matter whether we understood each other, whether we knew each other. It was so beautiful. It was so lovely, you know, subhanAllah. And the friends that I have, the amount of friends that I have, subhanAllah, when you move beyond that, when you move beyond this thing of, oh, but they are different to us, and oh, that we don't understand them. SubhanAllah, Allah teaches you, and I say you can learn so much from different cultures, but the only way we can do that is if we learn to first make the tahammul on our own selves and not put ourselves and think that what we have is the best and the most valued, subhanAllah, right? So, how now does racism affect our iman? How does it actually impact?
SubhanAllah. You know, like I mentioned, Walima, that when we look down upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in actual fact, we're saying, Ya Allah, what did you create? What have you done? That's what we're saying, actually, you know? So I think that needs to come, you know, in our minds, that subhanAllah, that how dare I, of course, and it will affect our ibadah, you know, because we did mention also that, you know, racism and this tribalism, it all stems from pride. And we know the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something to the effect that the person who has even a mustard, mustard seed weight of pride in his heart will enter Jannah. So that's in its place also, right? And the problem is when we normalize, you know, the racism and the tribalism and all of this, we don't regard it to be a sin, in which we will not even be able to make tawbah for because we do not regard it to be a sin. That's one part. And what about the part where we break the hearts of other people, you know? Just to mention a little story that happened, right? So once I got married, I had been invited for one of my friends, Walima, so I wasn't sure of, you know, the house number. I was on the right street, but not sure of the house number. So I just knocked on one of the doors and I was just about to say, sorry, do you know where's number, whatever, whatever. And subhanAllah, this woman came out with a 2 rand. Like, can you believe this? Allahu Akbar. Oh, I was so shocked. I was so shocked. SubhanAllah. So it does affect our ibadah. It does create an impact on our iman in a negative one at that, you know? Because, I mean, this happened many years ago, but it's something that I still remember till today. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. And SubhanAllah, that's such a difficult story to share. Allah, the award you for sharing it. But this is something that we have to take cognizance, you know. Of even sometimes when you see a Muslim person who might not be of your same race and you think, oh, no, they're beggars. Or, oh, this, you see, they're just in Islam because they want you to give them something. And they want. And I'm not speaking from a South African perspective. This is throughout the world. I've seen this throughout the world. And subhanAllah, I remember, you know, sometimes when you go to in South America, when you have like functions, and they will say to me, "But don't put all the food out." You know, these people just come here for food. And subhanAllah, maybe it's true, but it's not our place to say those things. You understand? It's not our place to find that sort of judgment on other people. We have to think that no, This is Ibadullah. They are there. In the time of Nabi Sallam, so many people accepted Islam and then they turned murtad. Yet Nabi Sallam accepted them. You know, the Sahaba looked after them like that. Even though whatever it was, we cannot be judge and jury of people's iman, subhanAllah. And then, you know, we were speaking about how does it affect our ibadah and how does it affect our iman. Another thing is that, you know, when we look at the people who are different to us, and I this is why I brought it up as racism and tribalism, is that we do many sins. You know, one is it the judgment. One is making people feel out, that is a direct sin. You know, when we go out of our way to make sure that they're not part of us, they're not really included now. And this is a very, very deep conversation that can go and has so many layers to it. But subhanAllah, to our listeners out there, let us take the time to see how we can impact change and how we can say, maybe I'm saying these words, maybe my face turns up. Maybe when I see somebody's and I don't like it, you know, I'm in a public setting, they can see it on my face, subhanAllah. Maybe I treat people around me like they are workers. I need to be careful about this, you know. So, Maulima, just to end ourselves, what can we now do to check ourselves? What can we do if we have, you know, sometimes you're not even aware you have these tiny little things. So what can we do? We might not be aware of it and we're doing it. What can we do to change this?
I think, you know, Maulima, that number one, we need to be akhira-focused, honestly speaking, with. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be happy with my words? Will He be happy with my actions? You know, when the focus is on akhirah, I think everything which exits our mouth, subhanAllah, is going to be, you know, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with me? And I think from there onwards, it will be easy for us, inshallah, to shed. And also, we need to also remind ourselves that no one had a hand in their own creation, like no one created themselves. You know, they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the only being who was created. You would think that he created himself. You know, he was so beautiful and everything, subhanAllah. But, and also put the feelings of people forward, you know, consider people and think that there's always somebody, I mean, how Allah Ta'ala has created us, that there's always somebody who's better than somebody else. So at the end of the day, I may think I'm superior to someone else, but someone else may also perhaps think I'm inferior to them. And how would I feel? You know, if people had to pick on me because of my race or because of my tribe or because of the complexion of my skin. And so rather put ourselves in the shoes of these, of, you know, the people that we perhaps would think ill of and, you know, are racist towards. And think, you know, as the famous lecture that, you know, went around and everything, that if Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was alive today, would we be able to give our daughters to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Or is it that we're just calling our masajid Masjid Bilal and, you know, Masjid Safina? But had they been alive, would we be okay, you know, with being okay with them being in our houses and marrying our daughters also? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the hidayah, inshallah, and to mend our ways, and may He forgive us also, and may He put that in the hearts of the people perhaps whom we have offended, and may He give them a better jaza than what we could ever, inshallah. Alima, can you hear me?
Yes, subhanAllah, I'm Yaman. My suggestion was so beautiful. And to end off, I just want to say that we should make it an active part of our day to ask Allah to make tawbah if we do this, subhanAllah. If you may not think it to be something that is hurtful, but make tawbah that, Ya Allah, if I have hurt anyone with my tongue, with my heart, with my actions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and protect us from this, inshallah. May Allah reward you for joining us today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you barakah and your time for the rest of Ramadan and accept your amal. Please keep us in your du'as, inshallah. And especially special du'a for me, alhamdulillah. Allah is testing me a little bit with my health. So there's a lot of du'a for me, inshallah. And we will speak next week, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Listeners, alhamdulillah, you have been joining us on Hayat Tayyiba with myself, Malima Shankira Ghanta, and Malima Hasina. And subhanAllah, it's been a lovely afternoon, deep one. But inshallah, I hope it impacts change in my life and in all of us, inshallah, until we start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with basira. We look at what we are doing with deep insight and not just move our actions and our limbs and do things for the sake of doing it, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May you have a beautiful afternoon. Inshallah, we will meet tomorrow afternoon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.